Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, April 28th, and today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 78, reading the first paragraph, which begins with, in 9 out of 10 cases, the unexpected happens and ends with, it's water over the gram. Over the dam. Today's readers are Alex K. for the 12 steps, Cheryl S. for the 12 traditions, Jennifer A. will read our text today, Jordan L. and Julie E. B. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, April 27th, is 20203. That's 20,203. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, April 28th, is 20205. That's 20,205. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Alice K. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Elaine. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered for today. 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles. And we're grateful to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex K. And I'll now ask Cheryl S. to please read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lust problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, everyone, for your service, and thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Cheryl S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 78, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Jennifer A. to please read that for us.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. Thank you. This is Jennifer A. from Santa Clara, California, and the Big Book, page 78. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we're doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. Ah, thank you so much. I love the Big Book, first of all, and this paragraph just talks about experiences of step 9. I personally haven't been thrown out of anybody's office, nor have I had anybody's year of feuds melting away, but what I can say is that the unexpected happens for me too, right? I get to look at my part and look back, and it is water over the dam for me. You know, I can relate to the freedom that that comes as a result of working these steps and doing these things and being willing, right? I'm willing to go and have someone not accept my amends gracefully. I'm willing to go and make it right. I'm willing to go and ask for forgiveness because it is detrimental to me. It's detrimental to my life, and not to mention whatever kind of healing it can bring for the other person. The amends that I made face-to-face with individuals were all taken in quiet and in silence, which is really uncomfortable, but I didn't do it alone. I did it with my higher power. And it just melted away. It just melted away any kind of barrier that I had between me and my higher power. And whenever I participated in this relationship with another person or the world in general, and I was able to look, hold my head higher and look the world in the eye. And for that, I'm truly grateful. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer A., for getting us started here today. And if anybody would like to comment on page 78, the first paragraph, And we'd love for you to keep in mind that though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you shared in the last couple of days, then please hold off. But if you haven't and you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
I heard
Julie
Annabelle
E.B.
B. Io, Dion R. And Julie E.B. I hope I can read my writing when I write these down real fast. Okay, I've got Karen KZ. Annabella didn't get your initial of your last name. Io, I believe it was, and also didn't get the first initial. Dion R. and Julie E.B. Did I miss anybody? Okay, we're going to kick off with Karen KZ, and you'll be followed by Annabella.
Hi, this is Karen KZ in Missouri. And the thing that stands out for me today in this paragraph is that it doesn't matter whatever if the person offers resistance. I guess for me, what I have to do before I can actually take this step is I have to let go of all my expectations. Because, you see, I want everybody to say, oh, thank you so much. And, you know, I really appreciate you doing that. And, oh, it's okay. And that trips me up, not just when I'm making an amend, but in my life. I keep thinking people are going to say, oh, that was good. And that's part of my recovery process, really, is understanding that it doesn't really matter what anybody does when I make these amends or even in my life. Because my happiness, my serenity is really just dependent on my relationship with God. And before I would go to anybody and make an amend, I always invite God to go with me because I can't do that by myself. I don't trust myself, but it really takes a lot of preparation. And for me, it's a lot of sitting with and letting God talk to me and reminding me that this is for you to own your part. This is for you to share what you did wrong. And it's not about anything about them or how they respond or what they did. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Karen Casey. Okay, we have Annabella up next. If we could have the first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Ayo.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z, as in zebra, from Washington State, recovered. And I love this paragraph. It's just so bizarre, the timing. So all week that we've been talking about the ninth step, every morning I'm like, oh, I really need to write that guy a letter. And it's my old boss and or manager, kind of, who I was kind of insulting to when I left the place that I used to work. And I went back after getting into OA. I went back and made an amends to him about 6 months later. And it was like in the parking lot. And he asked, you know, I was like, I'm really, you know, I apologize. It was rude, whatever, what I needed to say. And he's like, you had a 12-step program. And I am so used to for 25 years of being anonymous in my field. And it's really important in my field to be anonymous. There's just so much taboo about being alcoholic or compulsive eater or anything. I just immediately just said, oh no, it's just the right thing to do. And you know, I knew I was lying right off the bat. And so it never really bothered me until this week. So I'm like, already I got to talk to my sponsor about writing a letter and been talked to her a couple times this week, texting, when's a good time to talk. Yesterday morning, I show up at this place I work and I find out that my boss is interviewing there to that day yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to know I'm a liar. And oh my God, and I had this great thing going on. And I was like, no, I'm just going to be professional. This is a professional situation. So sometime he actually comes in to interview and I saw him and I was like, hello, you know, and he's just like, I went over to shake his hand professionally and he opens up his arms and gives me this huge bear hug and talk about something unexpected happening. And I wasn't planning on doing another ninth step with him right then and there, but that to me was just God going, you still need to be anonymous in your profession. It was one of those things that if I do this work and I mean, I was ready, I was prepared. I was going to write him a letter. I just needed to talk to my sponsor, but this was like, I texted her last night and I'm like, I guess I don't think I owe an amends. And she's like, no, I don't think you do. So it was just kind of cool. It was definitely the unexpected sometimes happens. So I just wanted to share that story. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Oh, thanks for sharing your experience, Annabella Z. Okay, Io is up next, and if you could give us the first initial of your last name, you'll be followed by Dion R.
It's Io, A-Y-O-A, from Southern California.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. Greetings, everyone. I'm Io, compulsive overeater, and the thing that sticks out to me is it said the unexpected, trying to find it, it says, in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. And then at the very end, it says, we've made our demonstration, done our part, it's water over the dam. And for me, I just, that's something I'm really excited about, that a lot of unexpected things have happened to me along this road of recovery. I'm very early in. I'm just working on my 4th step, about to do my 5th step. But just hearing words like the unexpected is something that just keeps jumping out at me as we go through step 9, because these are things that people spend a lifetime having so much fear about. And what I keep hearing people share is the unexpected happens, that they have these amazing experiences, and it's not always hinged on a person, like saying they did a good job, but the amazing experience they have is that they feel free and they feel less burdened, and they have a closer relationship with the Most High. So I'm grateful to be here. Today I have 60 days, and I could not have done that without coming to Visions to hear the big book and hear how people are applying that to their life. And I'm just really grateful to hear that there's more unexpected surprises that will happen in my life if I do this work the way that I'm hearing other people have done it. So thank you for letting me share. Have a great week, or weekend, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you very much, I.O. Appreciate that. Dion R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Julie E.B.
Hello. Good morning, Lane, and everyone on the line. So grateful to be a part of the solution. I like that as well, that part. 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. And it continues to happen. And, of course, like many said, I have never been thrown out of office necessarily, but out of people's lives. And that hurt. It hurt when I made a mess, because some men, like they say, it just can't, you know, some wrongs you can't right. But I felt better to get this. That relationship didn't get restored. But, praise God, and there's some I didn't restore because it was unhealthy, so I get it. But the gift is I'm still in recovery. And I'm still recovering the day at a time. You know, I recovered from the seemingly hopelessness, you know, of the food addiction. So that is my joy. Just doing it anyway. All the things I think I've done, I know, not think, I had done when I was using food and trying to hide it and everything and all the chances I took then, you know, a lot of arguing, whatever. And it's like, and I'm always afraid to just say I was wrong. And how can I clean this up? You know, and because these I do it still to this day, when my higher power brings it to my attention, it's because the unexpected happens. And my higher power knows I love gifts. I love love. I love friends. I love life, you know. So I don't mind getting all that good stuff, you know. Did it happen all the time? No. But the thing is, my conscience was clear. And as I shared with my daughter last week, I cannot lie to myself. I tried it. I can't lie to God. I can't lie to my higher, I mean myself. So with that, walking in peace and you know, with my fellows and my higher power, that's more than money. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Dion R. Julie E.B. is up next, and after she shares, we're going to take another lineup on page 78, paragraph 1,
which begins with, in 9 out of 10 cases, the unexpected happens and ends with, it's water over the dam. Please share with us, Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. and gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. the amends is really for me something that has completely changed my life. And of course, I did a process when I first became recovered, but it's an ongoing process because every time I do a 10-step, I do not just do 10 steps for resentment and fear. There's three areas that are in the big book. And the other one is sex conduct, which I do as a harm inventory. And God shows me what I did and what I do next time. So I move out of shame and into guilt, which most addicts like me don't actually have. I knew how to feel shame, but I didn't know how to feel bad for something I did because I was so overwhelmed with everything else going on inside of me and in my life. And so now today I can focus on my own spiritual demonstration. That's what this is talking about, because I've been through these other steps. If you're hearing this and you haven't been through these other steps, you know, do not worry about it. I remember the panic I felt thinking of all these things I would have to do. By the time I got to this step, I had faced things for myself. I had faced things for myself. When I get to this step, even today, I face things for myself. I'd shared them with another person last night. And, you know, I was trying to do my best at my job and someone got real emotional and it's calling me name and I found myself getting so defensive. And these words, focus on your own spiritual demonstration. And I tell you, the unexpected that happened for me is every time, because I had learned about a higher power who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding steadfast love in the course of steps 2 and 3 and 4, and learning deeper as I had defects, but I handed them to my higher power. I offered them to my higher power to use me and to remove what needed to be removed. Then when I get to this, I'm really focusing on my demonstration, on bringing peace with another person. It doesn't matter how they react. That's the bottom line of all of this. If it's my own spiritual demonstration, that means it's not a good amends if it goes well and a bad amends if it doesn't go well. It's about my spiritual demonstration that my higher power loves me no matter what, so I can talk to people about where I fall short or where I may have hurt them, and my higher power can use that. Whether I see it by their reaction or not, that doesn't matter. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Julie E.B. We so experience and value everybody's experience, strength, and hope, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So if you'd like to comment on page 78, paragraph 1, then
Joan
please press star 1 to... Joan Marie?
Yes.
Okay. And
Liz M.?
Joan Marie M. Anybody
yes.
else?
Yes, that's correct.
Julie P.
Julie P. Shay D. Shay D.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Natalie
Anyone
S.
else? Natalie S. Anyone else? Okay, we've got Joan Marie M., Julie P., Shay D., Jordan L., and Natalie S., and probably room for maybe one or two more shares after that. So please share with us, Joan Marie M.
Hi, I'm Joan Marie from Las Vegas, and I can't add a whole lot to what was said already, but I took my first 4th step many years ago, and the thing about what stood to me more than anything was, which many people have said already, is that it doesn't matter. I have to do my part, and I don't have to have any kind of expectations about them accepting it or not. So the one was, the only one that I remember that didn't was an ex-husband, and I returned his ring, and he said something like, oh, good, I'll give it to my next girlfriend. And he said, oh, did you get religion? And I said, well, sort of, I got God. And that was about it. The rest, I don't even remember. They were just fine. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Thanks for everything you do.
Thanks so much, Jo Marie. Thank you. Okay, Julie P. is up next, followed by Shady.
Good morning. My name is Julie P., recovered in Minnesota, and I'd like to thank everybody for your shares and your service today. I really wanted to be heard this morning and share a nine-step story that I have. And when I read these paragraphs or this paragraph, and it says, it should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. And I knew I needed to be willing to go to any length, like the big book says. And I, of course, saved what I felt was going to be my hardest ninth step for the last, which was with my dad. And I prayed before I went in, and basically it's kind of like the big book says, I was kind of thrown out of his office, and it hurt. It hurt real hard. And I remember getting back into my car, and I was crying and upset. And right away, I wanted to go to my sponsor and complain and whine and moan and how mean he was. And I said, no, I'm just going to sit with my higher power in this. And I started driving, and I was talking to my higher power, and my higher power shared with me that, remember 3 days ago when you were selfish and you didn't go to the nursing home and visit your aunt? Now is the time. And on my way home, I stopped to visit my aunt. I had the most amazing visit with her that I have had in my lifetime. And to make a long story short, I was with her for about an hour and a half. We ended our visit with how much we loved each other in the sunshine and the flowers. And she ended up going into the emergency room 15 minutes after I left, and she passed away. And I am so eternally grateful for that message that my higher power gave me. And I was able with her at her funeral, and I was the last person that a family that got to spend with her on her time on earth. And without this program, I know that that would have never happened. So the unexpected does happen. And thanks for listening. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Julie P. What a powerful story. Shay D., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, Shay D., gratefully recovering in California. And I'm so grateful for this meeting every morning as I'm learning about and living in recovery. And just thank you to everyone for your shares. Your shares support my recovery, and I'm so grateful for it. I've been such a silent witness on this meeting and have really been wanting to just share. I'm in the process of this step right now, making my amends. And as I go forward, I find that the more I do, the more willing that I become. Where it says 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. And I'm just finding that to be so fully true and learning that it doesn't matter how the other person responds. And yet so many people have responded just so positively and so lovingly. And there's been laughter and freedom. And I find that as I do my part, I feel cleansed. It's like a weight being lifted. And I kept thinking about, you know, the water over the dam. Like, what does that mean? Like, what is that? And I'm finding that those stuck feelings, those dammed up feelings, those emotions that have been just stopping the flow are gone, and that love flows freely, and the fear is gone. The fear of meeting these people or seeing them is gone, or the craziness inside if I run into them is gone, and that love is able to flow. And so, yeah, just wanting to do my part to be able to live in freedom is exciting. It's a little scary, but it's also exciting. And I think that's all for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Shade D. Okay, Jordan now is up next, and you'll be followed by Natalie S. Please share with us, Jordan.
Hey, good Jordan morning, now? Elaine.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks. my name's Jordan now. I'm a recovered here in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. and thank you, everyone, for the shares this morning. you guys are schooling me on our big book here. I love it. a lot of what I was going to say has already been shared, so... the only other thing I was thinking about is this amends process is there's several times throughout the book that the authors take us back to the play with the actor who's trying to be the director, which is 100%. I very much relate to that today. I don't think I really understood what that meant when I first came into 12 steps, like a 12-step way of life, but I very much understand what that means today, to be the actor trying to play the director. And what is so beautiful about the amends process is it's where we really get to see how living our life, putting down the director role and like picking up the role that God would have us be instead. We really get to see the results of that, like the magic of not playing the director and letting things be as they are, or letting things like work out the way that they're meant to, and seeing the results of that, like seeing how much better the play is when we're not trying to direct it. So I think that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thanks so much for that, Jordan L. Natalie S. is up next, and after Natalie shares, we are going to have time for a few more shares on page 78, paragraph 1. It starts with, in 9 out of 10 cases, and ends with, it's water over the dam. So please share with us, Natalie S.
Well, thank you, and thank you, as everybody said, for all the shares. So I got to make, I was new to the program in December, and went through and made amends. I don't know, it was December, later in December or January. And all I knew, you know, one of the things that strikes me about this is that even how selfish I was when I made the amends, in that I wanted to make them because I wanted relief and I knew I had to admit my part and I wanted everything to be different. And I kind of chuckle at that because now that I've had a few months and I can look back and see the different reactions and the unexpected, the other thing that strikes me is that, yeah, there were things that were unexpected and there's things that still may be unexpected. But as Jordan said, you know, I wanted those things like now. My expectation was I would make the amend and then I would get relief and then I would make the amend and I would do this. And it's like, I would do this and I would get that and I would do this and I would get that. And what I've discovered is that as I got the freedom, I also gave the freedom. And there's, you know, what was interesting to me is that three of the people I most like in my family, my mom, one of my daughters, and my sister, each of them, their responses was controlling, manipulative, and I can see that now. And when they responded to what I was doing and telling me what I needed to do and how they weren't going to trust me and all of this, I realized that as I sat there and listened to them, and as I reflected on it later, that they're calling me to action because I've created such a mess and I've said things and then gone back and, you know, vacillated from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde so many times in our relationship that they basically were telling me they don't trust me. And that was one of the gifts that I've realized as I take my eyes off myself and give them the freedom to respond and help me be a better person and understand what these defects really do to other people, that the amends have a more deeper meaning to me in some ways and reinforce my resolve to work the steps to stay in recovery, to stay on my side of the street, to continue to do the right thing, even when they don't respond. And I don't know if they will. And so it's interesting to me how what I first did for more selfish reasons,
and there's still
some selfishness in it, but over time, how I'm able to see and my higher power shows me how to see that it can almost be a service to the world by making me better. So with that, I'll pass. And thank you for that reminder.
Thank you very much, Natalie S. So though we do value your experience, we do ask that if you have shared in the last couple of days to not share today. But if you'd like to comment on page 78, paragraph 1, we have time for about three or four more shares.
Chanel T. Sari C.
I heard Chanel T. And who was after that? C?
Sari C.
Suri C and Deanne F. Okay, great. So we've got Chanel T followed by Suri C and Deanne F. Please share with us, Chanel.
Hi, thank you. This is Chanel in Washington State, and I am a grateful compulsive eater. And I love that this book makes it simple and plain. It's not necessarily easy. Making amends is not easy, but simple and plain. And that's what I need because I will overcomplicate everything. I also love that it doesn't promise sunshine and rainbows in the amends experience in the sense of it does, but it doesn't. It doesn't promise that every relationship is restored to beautiful, wonderful happiness because some can't be. Sometimes the wrongs can't be made all the way right. But if I go to it in humility, if I go to it humbly with God, as I call my higher power, guidance, I will be amazed by the results. And when it says in this paragraph, the unexpected happens and water over the dam, those two different things, you know, it's true. You could be thrown out of the person's office. I was terrified to make an amends to my sister-in-law, terrified. We had such a wedge. I had such a burning resentment. We're talking for over a decade toward this person that I cut off all contact with my own brother because of it. That's a long story that we don't need to get into here, obviously. But making that amends was my hardest one. It was my hardest one. And then my brother had unexpectedly died, and I didn't go to his funeral because of my resentment toward my sister-in-law. And so I owed an amends. And here I was in recovery about to do this step. And I was terrified because I knew I was going to be making this amends. And just ruminating over it, my sponsor kept reminding me, higher power kept reminding me, just one foot in front of the other. It was the last amends I made and the most powerful. It was incredible. And no, it didn't restore relationship. We didn't have one to restore. But what it did was it allowed me to tell her how grateful, because I am that she was my brother's wife, that she was my niece and nephew's mom, because she's wonderful at those. You can all be good people and still not get along. It can happen. And I just love the fact that the unexpected happened. She shared with me some really special and private things about her relationship with my brother that just brought me to tears, because they were so wonderful, and things about him that I didn't really know, because of course I didn't know him in that way, and I didn't know him for over a decade of his life. So all I can say to anyone who's a newcomer, I'm not supposed to speak directly to anyone, all I can say is that as a newcomer at that time, that was completely unexpected that she would open up to me at all, and it made the experience incredibly beautiful. And the most beautiful thing for me was that all of that resentment that had been burning me from the inside out just melted away. It was gone. It was extinguished. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Thank you. That's all I have. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nell P. Okay, we've got Suri C up next, followed by Deanne F.
Hi, Suri C from Connecticut. Wow, a compulsive overeater. I don't know what to call myself because I'm in process of something for a certain amount of days. What I will say is that I have an issue with morbid reflection. And the word that stuck out to me was, it's like water over the dam. You can't collect water over the dam. Water over the dam, it's gone. While it's in the dam, it's safe, it's secure, it's serene, it's beautiful. It almost looks like it's not going anywhere. But just that little bit, that the water that goes over, that you can't collect it and put it back. I am so grateful for A Vision for You. I've been listening since 2015, and I've been doing a lot of, you know, therapy keeps coming back to this one moment in my life when I was 5 years old that something dramatic happened, and I was, you know, I was fed food to sort of quiet everybody from what happened. And I am, you know, now 43 years old. So if I go to the point where I started A Vision for You, was introduced to it, and the amount of years that it's taking me, every day, I can't collect the days that have passed. But what I can say is I've gotten so much, and even with my non-recovered state lasting as long as it has, I am so inspired by everybody's shares and by the power of the positivity on this line that I don't care. I would be grateful if I got recovery. God grant me recovery tomorrow. I'm powerless over this disease, and I know I have to take it day by day, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm just saying, if you're new on this line, or if you're struggling on this line, like, I'm still here, because this, even if it takes me another 25 years, I've spent 25 years minimum being a compulsive overeater and feeding all of my sad emotions and happy emotions and any emotion at all with food, that learning how to go to God with all of it, learning how to go to my higher power, learning how to be free as one could be and be still in that water that doesn't go over the dam, in that and make those amends and have that recovery. I'm just
gentle reminder.
I'm really, really grateful, and I'm not going anywhere, and I want to thank all of you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Teresa. And GNF, you'll be our last share today. Please share with us.
Good morning. This is Deanne S. in New York, gratefully recovered by God's grace and mercy today. And I want to thank everyone who is doing service on this line in every capacity, and especially in sharing with such an honest and open heart. Listening to someone share on this meeting, I actually realized that there was an amends that I made to my dad with someone who was my sponsor at the time who's on this line. And part of that amends many, many years ago was to actually call him. It was every Tuesday night that I would call him at 9 o'clock. And it really, that was the first transformation in our relationship. And I did that no matter what. Like, it was really the only time in my life that I had actually committed to something to that degree, where every week, like I said, no matter what, unless it was some like serious emergency. And he so appreciated that. I mean, it was God's grace. But what I realized when I was listening to someone else speak, that when he was dying in November of 2021, I spent a month with him. And I actually just wanted to make sure that everything was truly, you know, cleaned up, because there had been a lot of things in those years. And he said to me that he had overheard me say something about him to my, that it had really hurt him. And I was so grateful that I got the chance to actually sincerely say that I was sorry to him during that time that I was with him before he passed. And it meant so much to him. And so the other thing I want to share on that is that it's never too late. This is a process. And so stay with it. It continues for a lifetime, and this is the best way of life you could ever ask for. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Deanne F., and everybody that has shared. So we're now going to close the powerful meeting with reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Let me turn to the page. Sorry, I got distracted. Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.